I'll read in English, and then Chief Osan will read in Japanese. This is continuing in 1 Corinthians. We've been studying for a few weeks. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 to 41. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for stars differ from star in glory.
コリント人への手紙第1、15章35節から41節。ところがある人はこう言うでしょう。死者はどのようにしてよみがえるのか、どのような体で来るのか。愚かの人だ。あなたの撒くものは死ななければ生かされません。あなたが撒くものは後にできる体ではなく、麦やその他の穀物の種類です。しかし神は御心に従ってそれに体を与え、各々の種にそれぞれの体をお与えになります。すべての肉が同じではなく、人間の肉もあり、獣の肉もあり、鳥の肉もあり、魚の肉もあります。また天上の体もあり、地上の体もあり、天上の体の栄光と地上の体の栄光とは異なっており、太陽の栄光もあり、月の栄光もあり、星の栄光もあります。個々の星によって栄光が違います。
Good morning again. Of course, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and that's the day we honor people who have died while serving in the service. And I guess it's a sobering reminder of how broken our world still is. We live in a world where war, I don't know if America's not been in war. I don't know. A year where we have not been a part of some kind of war where a young person probably it cost them their lives. And although, you know, most of us, I think we live a pretty normal, simple, nice life, yeah? And today's message is about the resurrection of the dead. And it's not something we normally think about, or is, I don't know if many of us, that's our ultimate hope in life. However, I believe when you read scripture from beginning to end, there seems to be this hope there. A hope of a promise that God gave to his people. A hope of a world where there is no sin, there is no death. And sometimes we as just blessed people living in America, especially living in Tucson where the weather is in the 70s and 80s, like, you know, we're not necessarily looking for the resurrection. Although perhaps the more we experience in terms of death, the greater our body experiences the reality of its finiteness, then perhaps we do wish for a new body. And the great news is there is a promise of a resurrection, a new body. Not just a new body, but a new heavens, a new earth, a new world, a world where there is no death, a world where there is no sin, a world where there are no evil people that causes the world to go at war with each other. A world where a son, a father does not have to sacrifice his life. I'd like to read from I'd like to read a parable first. It's a very familiar parable. It's in Matthew 13. It's the parable of the sower. Hopefully this will make more sense as I talk about today's passage. But this parable is a parable of the sower. Now the parable of the sower starts out like this. Jesus is saying, he taught many things in parables, and one of those parables was this. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, he went around like scattering the seeds all over the places. And it says, as he did that, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plant were scorched. And they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 130 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Now the question is, what is Jesus talking about here? Is he talking about where you should invest your money? You know, seed could equal money, and sometimes you invest it and there's a con artist who takes your money, and that's the investment that fell on the path where the bird came and stole it. Or is he talking about what else could he be talking about? Let me ask you, what do you think Jesus is talking about here? It's a weird parable.
Preaching the gospel.
Maybe it's about preaching the gospel and preaching the word. And sometimes when you preach it, people aren't listening. And that's when the birds come and steal it. Yes. Anyone else have any possible other things that Jesus may be talking about. Well, here it is. He actually answers the question, because the disciples, when they heard this parable, they asked Jesus, "Hey, what are you talking about? We don't understand. Like, do you want us to go and plant some seeds? Do you want us to actually go and plant some seed?" And Jesus, like, no, it's a parable. It's not. I don't want you to literally go and make a garden, unless you're a gardener. But he says in verse 18, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is a seed sown along the path." The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Let me just pause there and say, you know, for those of us who are believers and walking with God, troubles and persecution will come because of the message you believe. It will come. Whether you're perfect or you're not, whether you're a monk, whether you decide to go and live on your own, trouble and persecution will come to those who follow Christ. because we live in a world where there is real evil. And there is opposition against those who want to follow God. Moving on. The seed that fell among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. And let me pause there. So there are two things. For those who decide to follow God, and the first thing that comes is persecution, trouble, but they're able to break through those things, and they keep following God. But then as they keep following God, there are a couple of distractions. And Jesus called it the worries of this world. I don't know, what are some worries that you have here today? The worries of this world. I don't know, what do you guys worry about? And the deceitfulness of wealth will pull you and pull you and pull you and say that's where God wants you to go, but then that's where they're paying a little bit more. Or this is where God wants you to go, but man, that thing over there looks just, it just looks so nice. Easy. If I get there, I'll be happy. I'll find rest. I'll be cool. I'll get 500 likes. Some of you guys already get 500 likes. Maybe not. You know, there's these distractions. And Jesus says sometimes those things pull you away from getting where God wants you to go, being fruitful. And then finally he said, some seeds, they break through the troubles and persecution. And although there's things pulling them one way or another, they finally find a way to get to where God wants them to go. And it produces a seed. It produces crop yielding 160 and 30 times what was sown. And I do believe, as Phil says here, it does have something to do with the gospel, preaching the gospel, where you preach the gospel, who you preach the gospel, the person that receives the gospel. And I do believe when Jesus talks in parables, there perhaps might be different levels where he's talking about these things. Perhaps. And I'll get to that later. Keep that on the side. Today's passage, the question is about the resurrection, and it's a continuation of a bigger issue. So the church in Corinth was struggling with the concept of a resurrection. Some believe that there was no such thing as a resurrection, that, hey, you know, when God died on the cross, he blessed everyone who would believe him, so much so that if you believe him, now, you could have your best life now. That when you have enough faith in God, you'll get that promotion, you'll get that wife, you'll get that house, you'll get that dog, you'll get that car, and on top of all of that, you'll no longer feel anxiety, you'll no longer have depressions, you'll no longer have any fears, and the only emotion you're going to feel if you truly believe in God is happiness, joy, peace, love, and that will dominate your life. You know, if that were true, then, you know, really, you don't really need the resurrection. You'll be healthy, you'll be wealthy, you'll be healthy spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, all these things. That's what some believers understood what the cross did. And Paul was saying, no, it's not true. In this life, you'll experience hardship. In this life, you'll experience pain, both emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually.
Those things will continue to be a reality in our lives on this side of eternity. And although that's not the only thing you'll experience in this side of eternity, those things will never go away on this side of eternity. There'll still be pain, there'll still be fears, there'll still be tears. And so some believe that there was no such thing as a resurrection, and they perhaps believe that the life we're living in is going to be as good as it gets, so learn the secrets of how to live that life, kind of thing. And might as well get as much as you can, feel as much pleasure as you can while you still can, because this life is all it's going to be. And for the Corinthian church, this was a real struggle. There was teachers that was teaching that, and there was also, you know, there were some Corinthians that were living a pretty good life, luxurious life, perhaps similar to the situation some might find themselves in today. You know, for those who are accomplished, wealthy, have a good family, have a good job, they're just physically beautiful, kind of all those things, maybe it's harder to hope for or hope in a resurrection. Because, hey, we're living a good life right now. We're living a great life. However, I believe that those who have truly given their lives over to Christ, such as Paul, who's writing this letter to the Corinthians, the prospect of living just a lavish worldly life, and then after all of that, going to heaven because of your faith that Jesus died and rose again, for Paul, that was out of the question. That was not for him. That was not what this believing in Jesus was about. In Paul's experience, and for those of you who have walked with Christ, you yourselves might be able to testify that when you give your life over to Christ, that there will be persecution, there will be trouble, there will be hardship, there will be temptations, the deceitfulness of wealth, the pleasures of this world. This side of life will be marked by, with Paul's own word, troubles, hardship, persecution, sacrifice, and warfare, or we are perishable, we are dishonored, we are in weakness, and our lives, our mind, is still trapped in the natural as opposed to being freed to be truly spiritual people. So Paul says, hey, you know what? There's good news. This life that's perishable, this life that is full of dishonor, this life that is full of weakness, this life that's full of the natural, will one day pass away. There will be one day a resurrection of the dead. And concerning this resurrection, he answers two questions. How are the dead raised, and with what kind of body do they come with? Moving on in scripture, he says, you foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies, and what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. To answer the question, how are the dead raised, instead of using some mythological or miraculous story, to explain this phenomenon of the resurrection, Paul brilliantly uses an everyday occurrence of seed falling to the ground. Isn't that great? He says, you see this, you see the resurrection of the dead all the time. He says, when a seed falls and gets buried, it dies. It's no longer a seed. What makes it a seed decomposes into the soil, and it is no longer a seed. But the life of that seed continues on. And it continues on, sometimes to wheat, sometimes to corn, sometimes to a tree. The life, it continues. But now at a very different capacity, and so it will be with our own lives, here and now. So it will be with our own lives. That one day, you and I will be buried, cremated, will die. This, the composition of what makes up our body will go back to the dust. But that's not the end. What you did with this life will be seen on that day of resurrection, because it will grow into whatever it was. Whether it was wheat, whether it was corn, whether it was an acorn. And some of you, just kidding, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to the person next to you. But some of us, we might be wheat. Our life here might have been so, not like the good wheat, I'm not just kidding. We might be tares, it seems like. And some of us, and this time I'm talking to you, it said, your life was so amazing that you received the message, and that seed that fell would turn into 30, 60, 100 fold. But you will not see that so much on this side of eternity, because we're so blinded by this world, by the culture of this world, by the values of this world, that it's hard to measure what God values. It's hard to see what God truly values and measure those things, 30, 60, 100, that only after we die and on that day of the resurrection, we will see if truly we lived a life that bears 30, 60, 100 fold of what was given to us. And if you look at Paul's life, if you look closely at Paul's life, today we talk about him in such almost too high, which is good, because truly he was a remarkable, great person. But you know, during his lifetime, sure, he did great things. He went around and he did a couple of missionary trips. He planted a couple of churches all over the regions. But towards the end of his life, what you'll begin to see in Paul's life is people are saying, Paul is not a real apostle. His teachings are not that great. The churches that he planted will begin to turn on him. And I don't even know if a lot of these churches were able to withstand that kind of attack from the enemy. And these churches would fold and close. Paul himself would find himself in prison, in chains, with people backstabbing him. And a couple people still, he would consider his children. He would pour his life into. But If you were trying to measure his life in terms of, you know, how much he did for the kingdom in his lifetime, during his lifetime, people would probably not have placed him so high on a list. Right today, he's number one. But back then, they would say, well, we don't even know if he's a real apostle. The churches he planted, they're all kind of turning. They even turned on him. And so Paul, I believe, more than most, he looked forward to that resurrection. Because he knew that his life he gave over to Christ. And he ran the race he was supposed to run. He fought the fights he was supposed to fight. And he died dishonored on this side of earth. But he will be raised in glory. On this side of the earth, although he had miraculous, he seen miracles, his own body was weak and failing him. Some say he was blind, bow-legged, bald, crooked nose, and he had an ailment that was terminal. And I'm sure people gave him, were saying stuff like, you know, if God really loved him, he wouldn't look like that. No. Or if God really loved him, wouldn't he have healed his body? He lived his entire Christian life in weakness. But he knows he will one day be raised in power. One day he will have a body that is a spiritual body. Paul goes on to say, but God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind of for humans, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. There are heavenly bodies, earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly one is one kind. The glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For stars differ from stars in glory. Paul is just explaining there are different types of bodies. We see that all over. We see that just natural observance, common knowledge. But everything has a body, he's saying. Fish, bird, humans, the stars, the sun, the moon. And I think he goes on to say all of these things because, you know, there was a belief that the material is bad and the spiritual is good. And everything material will one day cease and there will only be spiritual things. However, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God created all of these things and these things are good. And so I believe that in the resurrection, it's not just going to be us becoming some spirit and floating with no bodies, with just some kind of existence that is, I don't know what some of you believe, but Paul seems, and the Bible seems to teach, that there will be a continuation of what God created. Not just a continuation, but a restoration. A restoration. We will live one day in a world that God created, who said when he created it, he said it was good, that it will return to that state of goodness. That one day Tucson would be filled with rivers and waterfalls. With plants without so much pollen that if you have allergies, it doesn't bother you, kind of thing. The restoration of all things. The good news is that God is inviting you and I to be part of that, starting now. Not just after we die, but starting now. That wherever we go, whatever occupation we have, whatever family we're in, whatever situation we're in, when we go to the grocery store, that in that moment that we enter into that world where God wants us to be, that they begin to see and taste what it could be and what it was meant to be. Just a taste. Because none of us were perfect, but we can carry a little bit of heaven wherever we go. The class we're in, the city we're in, can taste a little bit of heaven. Even when you go on the golf course, that all of a sudden that golf course would have a change in atmosphere, a change in the spiritual dimension of that place. Because now there is a priest of the Most High God there. Got on a sidetrack, but let me get back. What kind of body will we have? Paul says, what is sown perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it will be raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it will be raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it will be raised a spiritual body. It will be a body that is led by the Spirit. I don't know if it'll continue to look like this body we have right now. But it is a body, and it will be led by the Spirit. That is what the resurrection is. That is the hope that we have in Jesus. That one day there will be the resurrection of the dead. Just as Jesus rose from the grave and now is seated at the right hand of God, one day you and I will taste of miraculous resurrection and will see God face to face. Let us pray. As we come before the Lord in prayer, you know, I shared a parable at the beginning. And it was a parable of the sower. It was a parable where some of the seed fell on the path where the birds came and stole the seed. There are some seed that fell on rocky grounds where the troubles and hardship of this world destroyed the seed. There was a seed that fell where there was weeds that came and choked up the plant that grew up. And then there are seeds that fell on the good soil and produced a crop 30, 60, 100 fold. Now as we come before the Lord in prayer, ask the Lord, which seed are you? Out of the four seed, which seed are you? Some of us may be seed that fell on rocky places, where whenever persecution comes, we shrink back. For those seed that are on rocky places, I pray in Jesus' name, we pray that you would remove those rocks. Remove those rocks so that we can be deeply rooted in you. Most of us, I believe, we would think of our seeds as those that fell where there are weeds. Where the deceitfulness of wealth and the pleasures of this world will choke us out, distract us from what God wants us to be, from what God wants us to do. For those of us who find ourselves in that situation, Father, I pray in Jesus' name for your heavenly weed killers, that we would realign our hopes, that we would realign our taste buds to desire the good things from your table. Father, I pray each and every one of us here will become good seed, 30, 60, 100-fold. That we would hope in the resurrection. Lord, I do pray the resurrection would come. You would come soon. Come, Lord Jesus, come. No more wars, no more pain, no more tears, no more sickness, no more disease. A world where you are King, Jesus. A world where it's run on your value system. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of things before we close.